Good morning, Grace Church, Truro. It's a privilege to be with you here this morning. My name's Jeremy Bunce. I know I can't see you face to face, which is a bit of a blow. I'm hoping I can see you sometime in 2021. My sleeve's going to be rolled up so I can get AstraZeneca as soon as possible. I don't know about you. And I understand that you're doing a new teaching series started last week. A Resilient Life, looking at the book or the letter, the first letter of Peter in the New Testament, 1 Peter. I absolutely love 1 Peter. 1 Peter has sustained me through some really tough times in my life. And we're going to read a section, an amazing section in a minute. And if you have a Bible, you might want to turn to chapter 1 of 1 Peter in the New Testament. And the background to the letter is that Peter is writing to people in now modern day Turkey who are going through some tough times. In fact, right near the beginning, and we'll read this in a second, he says, "You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." And he actually, throughout the letter, gives some examples of some of the trials that these people who are receiving the letter are actually going through. So first of all, he says, some of you are living good lives, but you're accused of living wrong lives. So in other words, you're facing false accusation. Some of them were slaves and they've got harsh masters. Some of them, he says, have received undeserved physical beatings. Some of them are experiencing marriage tensions. On a couple of occasions, he talks about enduring insults. He says he talks about living with physical threats. In chapter 4, he talks about fiery ordeals. And if that wasn't enough, in the last chapter, he talks about be alert, be on the watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. So he talks about all of them being in a real battle. Peter acknowledges suffering and trials. And in highlighting and acknowledging trials, Peter actually is saying it's okay to not be okay. This is really important for us to hear because we're living in tough times, aren't we? In fact, the whole Bible teaches that it's okay to not be okay. If you read the Psalms, people are struggling. It's okay to struggle. It's in the Bible, people talking about their struggles. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to lament. There's no sweeping of the carpet, under the carpet. No sense of, oh, just get over it in the Bible. Whether you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, some of you might be going through really difficult times. We live in difficult days. Some of you might be going through similar things to the first century Christians who live in modern day Turkey that Peter is writing to. How was 2020 for you? And how was it when you heard Boris announce the new lockdown last Monday? This pandemic is putting a huge strain on so many. First of all, there's the fear of the virus itself. Some of you are in fear of the virus, either for yourself or perhaps for friends and close relatives. Many of you, many of us are facing isolation and loneliness, separation from loved ones, missing homes. How many of you had FaceTime or video calls with tearful people, or you've been tearful on the phone? Some of you have suffered the loss of loved ones who've died in the last few months and you weren't able to even be with them. Then when there were school closures announced on Monday, you know how difficult it was last year trying to homeschool and perhaps hold down a job. This put huge pressure on school children, but also parents. particularly those who are in year 11 and year 13s, who are coming to exams which now don't even exist. So there's a lot of insecurity going on. Many of us are missing gatherings face to face. You miss church. You miss just being able to just, what you thought was completely always going to be an accepted norm, you now can't even meet face to face in a room. Some of you are missing physical touch. You're struggling, cooped up in a small house. Some of you are facing job problems. Some of you may have even lost jobs. Some of you may have are facing right now financial insecurity. Or even if you are at work, it's huge strain at work. Having to work at home, maybe. Some of you might, and I'm sure are, frontline health workers right in the thick of it. And quite apart from all of that, we have a growing mental health issue in this nation. And some of you either will be experiencing that for yourself or knowing others or trying to care for others who are facing mental health problems. Peter's letter is so current, so practical for those who are facing trials. And Peter acknowledges suffering. As we build Jesus-centered communities in Cornwall, let's make sure we give space for people to be real and honest about their struggles. And, not all, and help one another to keep focused on the goodness of God. That is what Peter does in his letter, and that's what I hope we will do today. And into the context of trials, Peter writes one of the most positive, most reassuring, most confident statements of ultimate security in the entire Bible. Let me just pray. Wherever we're at, Father, whatever our circumstances, whatever we're going through right now, help us, each one of us, to meet with you, to not just hear about you, but meet with you this morning, in these coming minutes. Bring comfort, bring assurance, bring hope to all who are listening, to all of us, Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to get Freya to read a section in a minute. We're going to start from verse 3, but before she does, I just want to point out something in verse 3. Verse 3 of chapter 1 of Peter says, 1 Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Have you heard that phrase before? It's exactly the same phrase used by the Apostle Paul at the start of his second letter to the Corinthians. And it's exactly the same phrase Paul uses at the start of his letter to the Ephesians. It's the same Greek words. And the roots of this phrase are that a Jewish family, if they were giving thanks for a meal, might use this phrase, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's kind of like a familiar Jewish liturgy. It's a declaration of praise to God the Father. In fact, it's more than that, and it's an explosion of worship that Peter and Paul in his two letters bring at the beginning of their letters. But not only is it a declaration of praise, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," it's also not only a declaration but an exhortation. You see, it could also be translated, "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it is not only an act of worship. Peter is actually worshipping as he writes the letter, or perhaps he's dictating it and someone else is writing it. I don't know. It's not only an act of worship, but it is also a call to worship. Just like in Ephesians, the writer, there Paul and here Peter, then provides a stack of dry fuel to set fire to create a blaze of worship to God. At this point, I'm going to hand over to Freya in a chilly Shropshire.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Thanks, Freya. I'm going to bring out a few quick points from this passage. First of all, never forget the mercy of God. Verse 3, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope is not based on our performance, but God's mercy to undeserving people like us. Our hope is not based on our faithfulness, but on God's faithfulness. We're not reliable. He is. In fact, he alone is. Our lives, our destiny can be bound up in God. And if you put your trust in God, you are safe. Next point, which means that we can be confident, because our confidence is based on the character and the goodness of God and the solid work of God. Verse 3, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christian hope, hope for the Christian, looks back to the physical resurrection of Jesus. And we can look back to the risen Jesus in order to look forward with hope. Because of Jesus, we stand on solid ground. Because of Jesus, we can have hope in days of uncertainty. And Peter describes this as a living hope, a lively hope. The Greek word there is zao. It's like, gives us the idea of being full of vigour, strong, powerful hope, a hope that has a vitality in itself. It's the same word that Jesus uses in John chapter 4 when he talks about living water. It's like an effervescence. It's not blind optimism. It's not wishful thinking. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have a living hope. Not some lifeless, dim and distant hope out there in the horizon or beyond. It's a bright hope that casts its light on the present. Peter talks about having a secure inheritance. An inheritance is a legacy passed on legally from parent to one's child. And he says in verse 4, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Another translation says it's incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. God himself is keeping the believer's inheritance safe. It's more secure than the safest Swiss bank vault. Kept in heaven for you. And if that wasn't enough, not only is the believer's inheritance safe, so is the believer. Because in verse 5 he says, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Shielded by God's power. Do you realise if you put your faith in Jesus, you are shielded by Almighty God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. If you put, or if you have put your faith in Jesus, you are secure. God is protecting your inheritance and he's protecting you, shielding you by his power. In the meantime, while you wait for your inheritance, there is no greater power than God's power. And that's the power that shields us. You can't get safer than that. Isn't it amazing? I've been following Jesus for decades. I am gobsmacked about how amazing it is still. Increasingly gobsmacked about how amazing it is. No wonder Peter says in verse 7, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Let me say this. In trials, in suffering, people either run to or run away from God, in my experience. Christians either run to God when things get tough or they run away from him. If you run to him, maybe you're going through difficult times. If you run to him right now, this is when you really get to know him. I'm 58. God grabbed hold of my life nearly half a century ago. You know what? The most significant, the most key moments of growth in my Christian life have been when things have been tough. Back in February, I think it was 1980, before most of you were born, I was sitting in a bedsit in Richmond with tears rolling down my cheeks. All sorts of things were going on. I don't know really what was going on, but I was going through a tough time. And I just was reading Lamentations in the Old Testament. And the title doesn't exactly inspire thrills and joys, but it gets halfway through Lamentations and it says, yet this I call to mind. The writer Jeremiah is lamenting, but then he says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope with him. In my little cold bedsit in February 1980, I experienced the presence and comfort a God like I'd never experienced before. In a difficult time, I got to know God more than I'd ever done before. Or more recently, I remember it was November 2015. I had some health problems. I was having chest pains in the middle of the night. It was 2 a.m. I was unwell and it had been relentless. I was suffering from bad nights over and over. I hadn't had much sleep. And I was reading actually 1 Peter, Peter's first letter. Tears were rolling down my face. And I got to chapter 5. You're going to get to this in a few weeks' time, I guess. And it says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. You know what happened that night at 2 a.m., November 2015? The tears of sorrow that were going down my cheeks were suddenly overtaken by tears of joy. Trials and grief are real. They can be intensely painful, and maybe you're going through them right now. Peter reminds us that grief is, verse 6, for a little while. And in verse 7, he reminds his readers that through trials, their faith, our faith, which is far greater worth than gold, is refined. God can weave purposes through suffering. The last thing I want to say is, perhaps you are facing real trials right now. Perhaps you're not sure you're going to be able to get through this. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Not only because he's actually suffered more than any of us, so he understands, but because he is our hope. Verse 7 talks about a day coming when Jesus Christ is revealed. Our hope is bound up in a person. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, verse 7 says, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. We don't see him now, but one day we'll see him face to face. And Peter says, you love him. It's all about loving Jesus. What's going to maintain you through the difficult times, the rough times in your life, maybe times that you're going to go through and are going through perhaps even right now, these difficult days, what will give you resilience is a living daily relationship with Jesus. Christianity isn't a set of rules and regulations or merely a system of beliefs. It's a relationship with Jesus. Jesus himself says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is inviting us into friendship, a loving relationship with him. He never promised an easy life. In fact, he promised the opposite. But those who put their trust and faith in him are ultimately safe. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is the center of the universe. Let's remember this in these extraordinary, very difficult times. Jesus is the Lord of history. Jesus has got this. And one day, he's coming back. Let's pray. Actually, you pray. I'm going to give all of us a moment of quiet. And in that quiet, I want to encourage you, wherever you are right now, place your life into the secure hands of Jesus. Maybe you've got to do that afresh. Perhaps you need to do this and you want to do this for the first time in your life. Let's have a moment of quiet. You can do it right now. Jesus, whether we're in a kitchen, a living room, a bedroom, we place our lives afresh or for the first time into your hands. We place our trust entirely in you. Thank you that your presence is with us right now, wherever we are, whether we're alone or with others. Thank you that you promise rest to everyone who is weary and burdened, to everyone who comes to you. We come to you right now. We place our trust in you, Jesus. Amen. Perhaps you'd like to talk to someone. I'd say, especially if this is the first time you put your trust in Jesus, I would encourage you to get in touch with Grace Church, and you can do that by emailing info@gracechurch.org. It's been great to be with you. God bless you.